So Sri Aurobindo says, his system, second paragraph, the second line, his system is a natural organization of the highest processes and movements of which the nature is capable. This sentence is central to the whole thing. His system is a natural organization of the highest processes and movements of which the nature is capable. If you want to develop even other systems of education in the world, this sentence should be our guideline. Do not prescribe any specific method of teaching. You take your students as they come. See for each one what are the combinations of his or her psychological functionings. And see how each one can be lifted up to their highest. Therefore, the system will be highly individualized. And yet, there can be common ways by which the irrigation can take place. There are certain forces which are so generated that each individual will approach automatically in his own way. Just as every tree moves towards the sun is put down as one general attraction, as it were, one magnet. And each plant, each organism in the world approaches the sunlight and tries to reach the sunlight in his own way. Similarly, a good teacher puts up certain magnets over the students. And then every student will approach that magnet, or those magnets are of such a nature that they will act upon each individual individually. It will automatically form combinations, psychological methods by which they can grow to the highest. And then applying themselves even to the pettiest details and to the actions the most insignificant in their appearance with as much care and thoroughness as to the greatest, they in the end lift all into the light and transform all. Pettiest details. There's a beautiful poem of Sri Aurobindo where Sri Aurobindo says that one who sends Jupiter in the spheres, and whatever care he takes in doing so, whatever might he employs in sending Jupiter in the spheres, the same amount of care, the same amount of might he uses in fashioning a curl of the hair. How your hair will curl, that also requires artistry, and the supreme artistry. Both of them are equal in his consciousness. Sending Jupiter in the spheres on the one hand and fashioning a curl of a child. Both are equally important in his omnipotent consciousness. I had one very interesting example. The mother as a supreme teacher. I had the privilege of taking children's letters to the mother from time to time. And I used to read out the letters to the mother. I also used to take down some letters even of the prime ministers. And I could see the same care she would take while reading the letter of the prime minister and letter of the child. It was not as if child's letters are less important and prime minister's letter is more important. Equal care, equal attention. I give you one example. One child had written, I am going to finish my third year of the higher course. So she had written, mo trasyam anem. Now this is grammatically not correct. So when I read that letter, she said, you give me. It was in 1973. That is to say, she was 95 years old at that time. And people used to say that she does not see, she does not hear. But it's completely false, because I can tell you, I read this myself. And mother said, don wala papier, give me the paper. And she said, where has she written? Mo troisième année. So I showed her, so she said, you write ma troisième année. And she corrected herself in her own handwriting, ma troisième année. And then she said, when you give the letter to her, you explain to her that ane is feminine. Mon ane is correct because of pronunciation, but not because of grammar. It is ma troisième ane grammatically. And because of troisième, troisième is not starting with a vowel. If it was to start with a vowel, then for the sake of liaison, you write mo. Now this was the care that mother took to explain to the child. And there were so many other important letters with me, but no, this was very important. So applying herself to every minor detail with as much care as the other one, equal care. Actually, if you saw how mother was working among all the children, among all the people and world events, how she found time for everything, what an organization it was, it's unimaginable. Amazing, in fact. The mother at work was a supreme karma yogin, one who would know what is the real action, what is the right action, what is the measure of action, how much care is needed. I had once taken to her a problem, which was a very simple problem actually, outwardly. We had a delegation coming from Government of India, and I was in charge of the delegation. And then we had a problem. It is not a problem normally, but it was a problem. They were all to sit together in a dining hall. And the question was, who will sit where in the dining table? Normally these problems do not get even attention, not even mention. People come pell-mell, they sit anywhere. So when I told the mother, she said, be very careful, she said. Who will sit where? Tell me now. She drew the table herself on the paper. And she said, now how many of them are there? I said, about 15 people. She decided who will sit where with whom. And knowing each one, whether that person can talk or he will remain quiet, because all people cannot talk. They don't have the equal capacity of talking. And even if they talk, one has to be careful in talking, what kind of talk it will be. Some people are so boisterous that they might spoil the whole atmosphere. Some people might not talk at all. And there were some people in the ashram who did not know how to talk in a dinner party. There are some people who are very careful, and some people had a fad about certain matters and not about other matters. And mother knew everyone so well, and she told me, you put this person here, this person here, this person here, that person there. What a tremendous care. It was not just something to be thrown out, just to be done. Dining table, people will come, pell-mell, they will sit, you chat and then disperse. Every activity has importance, significance. Every person sitting next to one another is important. It is like organizing the whole universe in the stars. If sun was slightly nearer to the earth, what would have happened? If the sun was slightly farther than what it where it is, what would happen to the earth? It would be so cold that we can't survive. If it was slightly nearer, the whole earth would be blazed. We can't live. It is exact measurement in the divine organization of things. Everything is so situated, so measured. One can even say that God is a great geometrician. He is a master of geometry. All measurements are so beautifully done, such proportion. So in every minute detail, and even in the greatest, largest movements, the divine's intervention, his wisdom is at work equally. As Sri Aurobindo says, there is nothing for him which is too great to be attempted, nothing small, too small to be used. In his yoga, there is nothing too small to be used and nothing too great to be attempted. Therefore, attention has to be equal. This is the second point to be mentioned. Just